Tonight we're going to be going back to the book of Galatians, and if I had been doing a book study, I'd have started front, went to the back. But I didn't what I did, apparently. I started the back, going to the front. Matter of fact, I ain't even doing that. I'm a jumping around like a hopscotch. So we're jumping around again tonight. I want you to look with me in the book of Galatians, chapter number 5. The book of Galatians 5, if you'll stand with me. Galatians 5, and we'll be looking, and I'm going to rechew a little bit some of the provender here. I want to go back through, but I won't spend a great deal of time, but I'm more in my element tonight as far as verse by verse. I will say this, verse by verse, word by word preaching takes a lot more preparation than just extemporaneous. You know, it's a whole lot tougher. It takes a whole lot more time and a whole lot more effort and energy, but that's what I love. And so we call it exegesis when you take and squeeze all the juice out of a passage or try to. You'll never get it all out. Amen. You could preach out of the same verse. They said there was a man in Scotland preached out of one verse his entire life. And they asked him, are you never going to preach into something else? And he said, if I ever get done with this one, I will. I'm going to move on to the next verse. But he never did. He preached that verse his entire life. That's what they said. Look with me what the Bible says in the book of Galatians, chapter number 5. He's talking to the Galatian believers. He starts out by saying in verse 16, he says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And then he says, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. If you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. But I'm interested in the phrase, he says the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another. And never more than today, right now, is this statement true. And so I want to look just a little bit at this passage, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and I want to talk about living in the last days, all right? So let's pray together. Father, help us now. We need your help. And Lord, all of my study or preparation, all the outlines and alliteration will mean nothing unless the Spirit of God touch it and help it, and Lord, bless it, and Lord, prosper it. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Help us now, I pray, to be found faithful. We plead the blood and pray in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you very much. Please be seated. Well, preacher, what can I expect in these last days? Well, I can tell you what you can expect. You can expect the works of sinful flesh. You can expect it. You know, I was raised up in an era, I don't know. It was so different. In the 30s, the Acoustic Corporation came into town, built a factory, opened it up, took people out of the pulpwood, breaking ivy, subsistence living off the land, and put them in factory jobs. And suddenly a middle class emerged in this county. And then in 1959, the DuPont Corporation built a plant to make X-ray film at Cedar Mountain. And that brought people in from all over. And our schools filled up. As a matter of fact, my graduating class, because you figure the timing of all of that, my graduating class, I was the first class to start school with integration. I was the very first class that had integration. So we didn't know anything but that. We didn't know anything about that. They closed Rosenwald, and that's what we had integration for the very first time. But there was a strong middle class developing. And of course, Custa and DuPont put good paying jobs in the county. And then the thread plant, I remember when it was built, I remember when it came, and it added, and the Mitchell Bissell and the little places that came in. Remember the tracking station, when it came in, part of the NASA program, it brought in big paying jobs. It brought in all sorts of government people in here. And So it really, really did a lot. And so there was, when I graduated high school, there were 252 of us in my graduating class. Last year, the combined graduating class, I think, was 177. That was both schools. That's how much we've lost. Because the year that I graduated, I don't know how many Rosman graduated, but there's a bunch. I mean, it was probably 100 or more that they graduated the year I graduated. And so, and I'm guessing, but I knew some of them. And so what I'm saying is we've come a long way. The problem is we've come a long way the wrong way. Our factories are gone. Our middle class is shrinking. Neighborhoods that used to be middle class neighborhoods are now got junk cars in the yard propped up on stove wood. And the windows are beat out and the gutters hanging off. And it reminds me of driving through West Virginia, through the coal mine country. It's what reminds me to drive through some of our subdivisions, some of the places in our county. I'm amazed. And I'm amazed how quickly it's happened. And I'm amazed how bad it's happened. Now, not everybody were saints back in the day. You still had your drunks. Of course, my daddy made sure I knew about that. And I was raised around that side of it. But my mama worked at the plant. And they were honorable, you know, folk. There was a lot of he-ing and she-ing went on at the plant. It turned into kind of like a Peyton place. And it wasn't good. A lot of families broke up. A lot of affairs. A lot of other mess went on. But most people were ashamed of it. And did it secretly. And did it quietly. Boy, things have changed, haven't they? Now it's in our face. It's paraded before us. And sin is awarded, and sin is paraded, and sin is applauded. And that's something to really stop and think about. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 19. I want you to look at this and see the display that's taking place here, the display. And this is what I'm talking about. Sin's always been around, and people have always sinned, and there's always been adultery. But people were cautious about it. People were quiet about it. But now there's a display. And in these last days, it is on display. The scripture says the works of the flesh are manifest. That's where I get the word display from. Manifest. Like getting a billboard. You're going to manifest something. The works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? And so he's going to give us. Now in Galatians 5:22, we have a list of the fruit of the Spirit. But here, if I can say it this way, we have the fruit of the flesh. And we're going to get a list. And there are four things that are named, all of them having to do with sexual relation. First of all, he says adultery. That's unfaithful sexual relation. And then he says fornication. And a lot of people are saying, well, they're the same thing. And the answer is no, they're not. No, they're not, because I can show you in your Bible multiple times where they're listed side by side, and they're different words. The word, the Greek word for adultery is mutia. The Greek word for fornication is porneia. Totally different words, mean something different. And so there's unfaithful sex, adultery. There's unmarried sex, fornication, comes from the word pornography. We get our word pornography from. The word uncleanness, so there's unclean sex. And somebody said, what does that mean? Nasty. That's what it boils down to. The word is just plain simply nasty. And that was never God's intention for God's gift of procreation. It was never to be nasty, but I want you to understand, it gets so nasty now that it's unbelievable. And then the scripture uses the word lasciviousness. What does that mean? Well, that would stand for unrestrained sex. And that would, the word that I would use to define it would be disgraceful. To do things animals won't do. Disgraceful. And so he gives us a little bit about man's depravity. Then look what the scripture says, and we're going to change, because so we're talking about the display. So we see man's depravity in the first part of verse number 19. Look at man's defiance in verse number 20. the scripture says idolatry. Now, isn't it interesting that idolatry is always associated closely with the sexual sins? It's always there. Why is that? It's interesting that actually my alliteration this time got my attention. I was looking for a word to alliterate this with, and it kind of broke over me. It kind of it was one of those ah moments. Basically what it is, folks, idolatry is substitute worship. Anything that you substitute for God. And you can't do the above things and worship God. You see, you have to substitute. And there are people worshiping all kinds of things because it's taken God's place. It has substituted. Tonight, how many people have substituted something for the house of God? By this definition, my friend, you're guilty of idolatry. People don't look at it in that way. But that's exactly the idea behind the word idolatry. And by the way, the word idolatry is the same pronunciation, or very close in Greek and in English. It's a Greek word. And then he uses a word that's really fascinating, the word witchcraft. And somebody said, well, it's coming up on October the 31st. Got nothing to do with that. You know what it's about? Crazy. The word witchcraft here, it's found in the book of Revelation, and it's used, the word sorceries are used. You know what the word is? Pharmakia. Anybody recognize that? It's where we get our word pharmacy. It's about drugs. Has there ever been a day like it? Did you know now they're not even prosecuting for possession? They're not even prosecuting marijuana. So people can smoke it in public. They're not even prosecuting it. So it's not worth their time. Judges throw it out. Judges turn them out. I just come back from the Indian reservation where they've legalized marijuana. And if you think things were bad before, the poorest nation on earth, or a poorest nation in North America, the poorest county in our nation is now high. Now, they might have been high before, but now they got marijuana shops all over the place. And so here's the other part of it. So they have legalized marijuana if you're 18. If you're not 18, they have something called Delta 88. And it has to do with the molecular structure of the THC. But through a series of events, they have decided that they're not going to prosecute youth for using Delta 88, which is also a hallucinogen. It's also it's not as strong as regular marijuana, but it is. It's not the chromosome. What's it called? The molecular structure, the 9. This would be the 8. And so it's one step down, but it's still THC. It will still show up on a drug test. It will still show up on a drug screen. But the kids can walk in and buy that now, like bubble gum. So now we got youth that are a part of this. And, of course, the word witchcraft, the only people that had drugs when this was written were the sorcerers and the witches. And they used drugs to manipulate people and all those things, to cast spells and all that mess. Well, can you understand what I'm saying? Now, I realize the word witchcraft in itself deals with satanic worship. And that's what that's the word that I use for this. There's substitute worship, idolatry, and there's satanic worship, which is witchcraft. But I want you to understand that closely associated with witchcraft, the root word, I'm not trying to correct our Bible, but the root word, I want to enlighten you what the witchcraft entails. And it entails drug use. Now listen to me. Be careful, because THC is found in a lot of the creams, the ointments, even the stuff that you can buy at the gas station. It's just in small amounts. You understand what I'm saying? the oils and all those things that have all these medicinal properties. I had a pharmacist just give me the Riodact. Oh, it's good for you. It's good for you. Yeah, it's good for you. Yeah, it's good to get your driver's license taken if you got a CDL. The National Transportation Safety Board issued a federal decree and said the use of CBD oil and other cannabis-based products can cause you to fail a drug screen. And if you fail a drug screen for any reason, there will be no variance, there'll be no forgiveness, there'll be no consideration that it was because you ate CBD gummies or rubbed it on your skin or whatever you did. There'll be no variance given for it, and you will lose your license for 6 months, and you will have to undergo a mandatory drug rehabilitation course, and then you'll be put back on, if you get your CDLs back and go back to driving a truck, you'll be drug tested monthly. Monthly, you'll be drug screened monthly to make sure you're not doing it. Now, my question is, if the National Transportation Safety Board went to all that, what does that tell you? They got to be something. I mean, they're not just, they got to be something there. There's something there, okay? And so, I'm talking about man's defiance. I'm talking about man's depravity and all of these illicit sexual sins. I'm talking about man's defiance in these sins that are listed here. And then man's despising. There's a list of things that are rough, and we're starting to see them. You see, the scripture says hatred. Hatred. It's amazing the people that accuse us of being the haters, it's amazing how hateful they are. And it's amazing how they hate us. You know, everybody else is all right but us, because we don't agree with them. And I didn't realize really I know what hatred is. But did you realize that the word that is used here would basically come up, if you were looking up an antonym of agape, this would be the antonym of it. This would be the opposite. The opposite of a God love, of a one-way love, of a benevolent love. This is just the opposite of that. And so there's the hate principle here, hatred. There's not only a hate principle, but there's a hateful product in their lives. The Bible says variance. Now, that don't sound like much, but you know what variance means? It means people that love to cause trouble. People that get into causing fights and causing trouble. You ever been around anybody like that? Don't say you're married to one. God help you. You'll sleep on the front porch. Doghouse is full, son. You don't say that out loud. I done watched you. Cut your eyes. Don't do that. And don't point at her neither. Don't do that. Quit it. And there are people who love strife. And the problem is our churches are full of them. And then the word emulations. Again, these are not words we use all the times, but I would define emulations as heart poison. What does that mean? Lawless. Lawless. The rebellious, lawless crowd, that it don't matter what it is, they're going to do something lawless. They're going to do something rebellious. They're going to be just as far away from the norm as they can and be just as rebellious as they possibly can. And again, that is rewarded and that is applauded. Emulations. And the word wrath. Now, everybody gets mad. But the word wrath has a little bigger meaning than that. It don't mean just get mad. It means the passion of anger. What does that mean, preacher? You ever heard somebody, their defense was it was a moment of passion? There was a fellow that we went to court one time with David Gibbs in a children's home down in Walterboro, South Carolina, and there was a prosecuting attorney for the state, and there was the head of DSS, and they were there and they were giving David Gibbs a fit, and they were giving all of us a fit. We packed the courtroom, it was bad. That The woman was married to a professor at Clemson, and he lived up here in the week, and he'd drive home on the weekends. Lived up here in the week, drive home on the weekends. That state prosecuting attorney and that head of DSS for the state of South Carolina, I got to watching them. And I kept watching them talk, and I kept watching them. Well, they sure were friendly. And I watched, while she was up talking, I watched him, watched his eyes, and I watched what he did. And then when he was up talking, I watched her, and I watched her face. And I thought to myself, you know, if I didn't know better, I'd swear up and down there's something going on between that bunch. It wasn't long after that. They come up against the things of God. It was a mess. And they not only come up against us, I mean, they ridiculed and mocked the things of God. Okay? The professor at Clemson who's married to that woman, he come home on a Thursday night instead of a Friday night like he's supposed to, and found that man and his wife together. And he shot them both and turned the gun on himself. It happened. They call that an act of passion, meaning that he was furiously mad and he did something out of his head, furiously mad. Well, the scripture says that part of men's despising is that hot passion of anger. When you watched them burn the buildings on television, when you watched them, things they did to the police, when you watched all that, did you see the passion in them? Did you see them jump on the police cars? And did you see them, I mean, did you see what they did? I mean, one of the fellows that was over here in Asheville, you know, they knocked him down. He hit his head. I mean, he's still not, you know, back to where he was. And they would have destroyed him. They would have torn him apart if the law hadn't come. I mean, they would have stomped him to death. I mean, they hated the man. Seriously. And so, wrath, strife, I'd call that haughty pride. And here's the problem with that, strife. It's not just that there's a difference of opinion. It's when there's a difference of opinion that this side's mad at this side because this side don't like the way this side combs their hair. All right? And then this side goes over here and starts recruiting people from this side, saying, you need to quit sitting on this side. You need to come over here and sit on our side because you comb your hair more like us than the rest of them, and you really don't need to be over there with all them sinners. You need to be on our side of the church. And they recruit, and they pull, and they draw. Listen to me. That's happening in our churches. Don't let people draw you into something that God's not in. Don't let them draw you into cliques. Listen to me. I'm not saying we ain't had them in the past, but I'm a big clique eraser. I squish everyone I find. I despise them. I hated them when I was in junior high, and I hate them now. And there ain't no difference. People get into cliques, they act like junior high kids. Act like elementary, recess. And so you know, you get in a clique, you get in a fuzz, and you get in a fight. Let me tell you how I deal with that. I'll schedule to talk. You want to talk? Let's talk to the preacher about it, okay? I'm going to talk to you. So I'm going to bring you in, but what you don't know is I got the other one out hid in the other room. And as soon as we get through talking, I'm going to call them in, and you're going to face them. That's how I counsel, face to face. So, well, it ain't enough to do that. Well, you better keep it to yourself then, because that's how I deal with it. We deal with it face to face. I ain't got time to play tiddlywinks. I ain't got time to play that games. I'm too old, too aggravated. I don't have the time, the temperament. I don't have any of that, okay? I'm way past all that. I'm old and grumpy. I'm telling you, okay? I just don't do well with that trash, and I just call it what it is, and we just deal with it. And somebody said, well, we'll just leave. Well, God bless you on your way out, because I'm telling you, you're not going to destroy what's going on around here, okay? by getting these little things going on, it's not going to happen. If I get wind of it, I got your number, okay? Got your number. I'll come see you. I promise you I will. Strife. Seditions. What does that mean, preacher? Well, it's hurtful polarization. It's close to strife. Strife chooses sides and picks teams and recruits people. Seditions means insurrection. You know how many preachers have had their youth pastor to rise up against them and split their church? Most of them. It is so common today. The youth pastor's running off with half the congregation because they don't like the way the preacher's doing it. My friend, I got news for you. When a man splits a church, I'm done with you. Now listen to me. I'm done. I'll speak to you if I see you in Walmart, and I'm done. I'm done with you. I'll never have nothing else to do with you. I'll never trust you again. I'll never have any more respect for you. A person who splits a church, as far as I'm concerned, they ought to write it on their tombstone that he split this church in such and such a time. I don't put up with it. God's not honored with it. God's not. You say, well, so there's some things to split churches over. Yeah, but it ain't the young preacher's job to do it. Oh, better stay away from that one. Seditions. And then heresies. Heretical philosophy. You see, there's a whole lot of people who have these self-willed opinions in opposition to the truth. And it don't matter what the truth says. I've got my self-willed opinion, and I'm not changing, and I'm not turning loose of it. The scripture says heresies. And so these are things concerning man's despising, the display of the works of the flesh, man's depravity, man's defiance, man's despising. And then man's deafness. Look what the Bible says, envyings. Envyings is the, and I'm going to read a definition to you. I got it out of a lexicon. Envyings is the feeling of displeasure produced by witnessing or hearing of the advantage or prosperity of others. When you hear somebody else has been prospered or has had an advantage, it's the feeling of displeasure that produces inside your heart. Envyings. Motivation and their private desires. Murders. Murderous passions. Did you know there's a whole lot of people that would be mass murderers if they thought they could get by with it? There are people who sit around and dream about shooting up Walmart. And there are people who would probably do me and you in if I thought they'd get by with it. And I'm not exaggerating. It's a sign of those last days, murders. Look at this next one, drunkenness. Murderous passions, mind-altering pollutions, drunkenness. The root word for the word drunkenness is meth. That's where we get the word meth from. It means drunkenness or impaired. And that's where this comes from, drunkenness. Did you know that my son-in-law worked for the state community college system, and he lost his job teaching auto mechanics? They cut back on the auto mechanics program. How long does it take you to get your car worked on? You leave it 3 weeks, right? Because there's a shortage of mechanics. But they cut back on the automobile program so they could start a brewery program to teach people how to make beer. And that's the truth. That's where the budget cut came, and he lost his job to brewery and brewmaster school. God help us. I had an uncle went to prison for that very same thing. Mind-altering pollution. Drunkenness. They say every third car you meet on the road has been drinking. One out of three has been drinking. Yeah. The word revelings. The word revelings was when the people would take to the streets, much like Black Lives Matters and those things. It was the idea that it was malicious partying, and they would take to the streets and mob rule and mob violence, and they would just basically go through and do anything they wanted to. That's what revelings is about. And then it says, and such like. Sounds like my grandma talking, and such like. can I say that that has to do with malignancy, the such like. That has to do with things that are parable, that are parody, malicious parody, or malignant parody. In other words, things that are along these lines that are not in this. That's the works of the flesh. And we're seeing that it's where we're living at. And so there's the display of the works of the flesh. But there's also a danger in these works as to their future. He says this in verse 21, of the which I tell you before and have told you in time past. He says, they which do such things. Now let me just say this. The word do, everybody should know what the word do means, right? Here's the problem with the word do. That word is found, if you look it up and you study the word, it is in the present indicative tense. It means to do and to do and to do. We only have one word for that. So we have to add something to it. Okay, do, do, or do is. That don't work. So the term, what's the tenses of do? Do, do, and done, I suppose. This means keep on doing it. So the habitual, so you hear the word? Habitual comes from the word habit. The habitual doing of these things, the habitual practice of the things listed above, the scripture says, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I didn't write this. The Apostle Paul did under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. So I'm afraid there's a whole lot of people that's counting on going to heaven. It may not make the load. There's the works of sinful flesh. But then also, and I'm going to be quick on these next two, there's the witness of the Spirit's fruit. I'll just read them to you. Verse 22, Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. This is the indication of the Spirit of God dwelling in us. I heard somebody just recently talk about, matter of fact, I think he was talking about today, that someone in time past, they had an impairment, they got something wrong with them, and they hadn't cussed in 30 years, 40 years since he got saved, and yet they got Alzheimer's or something, and they started falling back into that old man. They said, how's that possible? I said, what do you mean, how's it possible? They said, but yeah, how's that possible? I said, I'll tell you exactly how. The Spirit of God has been overruling that old man all that old time. But those old wild roots are still there. We didn't get eradicated. Our old sin nature did not get eradicated. And when your mind's not what it ought to be, so that, and by the way, that's what happens when you drink. That's what happens when you dope. That's what, you open yourselves up to that trash. Why under God's heaven would you open yourself up to it when we're trying with both hands and both feet to stop doing such things and to not say those things and to not think those things and to not act that way? Why would you do something to impair yourself so that it loosens you up to do that sort of junk? Why would you do that? Are you crazy? So I'm talking about the Spirit's presence. The proof of the fact that they didn't cuss for all those years is proof that they were filled with the Spirit. Proof of their salvation. And all you saw was that old wild root. Years ago, one of these Bradfords broke off. One of these Bradford trees broke off. Well, it started coming out in the spring, so I let it sprout. Nobody told me that Bradfords are grafted onto wild pear trees. Nobody told me that. So what happened was the wild pear tree roots and the wild pear tree trunk feed those grafted Bradfords. That's how they make them. That's why they always bust in that place, is because that's where the graft takes place. That's why they bust out so bad. I didn't know that either. I got down there one day and was going to trim it. That rascal had thorns on it that long. And I went over to the other Bradfords and I looked at them and they didn't have no thorns on them. And I walked back over to this one's got thorns on it. And I said, now wait a minute. I know that was a Bradford. I set them all out. What's changed? Something's changed. You know what changed? The new nature got broke and it fell off. The old nature took sprout and sprouted up. And so I had a wild pear tree. It looked a lot like a tame Bradford pear. But man, it had the awfulest thorns on it. So it is that we've got that new nature grafted in. And we bloom like a Bradford. But never fail, boys, that there's a whole wild pear tree under there. And it's got thorns long enough to do any damnable thing that your mind can imagine. It can still do it. So there's the Spirit's presence in verse 22 and 23. And there's the Spirit's power in verse 24. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. I'm talking about the witness of the Spirit's fruit. We started out with the works of sinful flesh. Now we've spread into 22, 23, 24, the witness of the Spirit's fruit. And I close with 25 and 26. The Bible tells us a little bit about not only the works of that sinful flesh and the witness of the Spirit's fruit, but now the walk in the Spirit's fruit. Look what the Scripture says. If we live in the Spirit, that talks about that belief, our living. Let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, there's a common fallacy that says, well, it don't matter how I live just as long as I believe right. You're wrong. Paul said they're Siamese twins. They go hand in hand. He said in verse 25 that belief affects our behavior. And bad behavior comes from bad believing. Comes from wrong believing. So there's the expression of a believer's faith. Believers living, what they believe and and how they behave. Let us walk in the Spirit. And then I close with this. There's the believer's, not only the believer's faith, but in verse 26, there's the believer's faithfulness. It said, let us not be desirous of vainglory. That's what we're to shun. This is how you live in these last days. This is what would not be desirous of vainglory. What we're to shun. Number two, what we're to stop. The Scripture says, provoking one another. And then, what we're to spurn, envying one another. Understand that we are to be faithful and that we're responsible for those around us. And in the Old Testament, there was a list of things that you could not do and they were sin. But you get your toes right up against it, but you couldn't do them. In the New Testament, somebody said, yeah, we're under grace. We ain't got all that. No, we're under a different law, the law of offense. Paul said, if eating meat offended my brother, I'll never eat another bite of meat as long as I live. It might not be sin to you, but it offends your brother. You can't do it because you're not supposed to offend them. About that. So I'm talking about the believer's walk in the Spirit. We're talking about the believer's witness. And then, of course, we're talking about the works of sinful flesh. I want you to understand that this passage is going to be more real in the coming days and the coming year as ever been, because you're going to see more and more and more of the world, the flesh, and the devil, that unholy trinity. You're going to see that thing rear its head up. So what are we supposed to, how are we supposed to react to it? Get our guns and build a fort? Nope. We're supposed to react to it by the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. Such good, so good, such there is no law. That's how we're supposed to deal with it. Makes me so mad I want to fight. Makes me so mad I want to whoop somebody. Makes me so mad I want to take up arms. But the Scripture says that we are to show Christ and not only witness Him, but we're to walk that way in spite of the walk of the world. How to live in these last days.